Did you know that Byers Airport Subaru is the oldest Subaru retailer in the entire country? And we're conveniently located right by the airport. We take pride in treating every customer like family, because that's what has kept us around for generations.
Right now, drive home a new 2025 Subaru Outback for 1.9% for up to 72 months.
Start your journey today at columbussubaru.com. Byers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 9/30/25.
Welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Today, we have a great conversation with Bob. He's going to be talking all about some of the key chapters from his book that he wrote for his family. He wanted to leave a legacy in the form of his financial knowledge, and we're going to dive right into that. It's going to be a fantastic conversation. There's going to be some conversation around what kind of curves can life throw at you. We're going to talk about how you can be your own bank and how being your own bank can help you also with cheating your budget. Maybe you hate budgeting. Listen to some of the tips that Bob throws your way. Going to be a very great conversation. And if you want to come on the podcast, I'd be more than happy to have you. This was a conversation that spurred up from a Facebook post that I shared. Bob said, I have some information I could share, and we connected, and then we're having this episode today and this interview today. So if you have something you want to share, or maybe some financial point that you'd like to talk about or like to learn about, let's have a conversation, because that's the whole point of Money Talks. The money talking points for today's episode are: what curves can you begin to prepare for today? And second, how can being your own bank benefit you? There's a lot of great conversation in today's episode. With all that in mind, let's get right into today's episode. You know, we don't talk about money enough. It's a topic that gets ignored for some reason, even though it plays a role in everyone's day-to-day life. Well, this issue is what brought Money Talk with Skylar Fleming to reality. I know you're probably busy and don't have time to research and learn about all the things that go into personal finance, but that's where this podcast, Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, comes into play. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. I'm here to do the research and learn all the extra stuff about personal finance. The goal is just to simply get us talking about money. So let's get talking. Welcome to today's interview. I have Bob Burdett here with me, and we're talking about life's curves and what happens when life throws you a curve. Bob, I reached out to you on Facebook. I had reached out through the Choose FI group that's local to us and said, hey, I just want to talk to some people about money. And that's what led you to comment, and we connected, and here we are. So this is exciting for me. Bob, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself to everyone?
Sure. I'm old and retired now. I've been retired for about 7 years. And at the time that I retired, I figured that was a financial decision, not an age decision. So as soon as I got to the point where I figured we could live happily ever after, I said, let's retire.
Awesome.
About 7 years ago.
Cool. And one of the things that connected us that's inspiring a lot of our conversation is you mentioned you're writing a book, right?
Yeah, I have written a book. It's now finished. The purpose of that book was just to leave kind of a roadmap for my kids, so they, when they're ready to start investing, that they could have at least one roadmap to follow.
Yeah, that's really cool. I think that's really inspiring to leave a legacy in that kind of a way, because often we talk about leaving these large sums of money, but like you're writing down your thoughts and your little bit of a guide to investing. I think that's really awesome.
Yeah. The last thing I wanted to do was dump a bunch of money onto kids when I die and have them be left with no mm-hmm. guidance as to what to do with it.
No know-how. Yeah, there you go. That's fantastic. Well, that book inspired our conversation today. You sent me the chapters and we kind of built a little bit of a conversation around that. So we'll just get right out the gate here with, what are some of the curves that life can throw at us when it comes to money?
You know, I've thought about this a lot, more so since we started talking, because curves like financial hiccups that can mess up your plan or your progress toward building wealth. And divorce is a big one. Divorce can come along. But then I got thinking, well, what about losing a job or you know, a catastrophe happens, the house catches on fire, all of these things. And I started to realize that you almost need to plan to have a hiccup or a curve somewhere in life. It can happen so fast, so easy, an automobile accident can wipe out not just your car, but put your family in the hospital, and you end up with a huge medical bill, even if you have health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So you almost need to plan to have a catastrophe come along.
Yeah, I think, yeah, you sent me a big list. I'll just read some of them off here. But you said like divorce or alimony, child support, fires is something to consider. Business partners, I think whether them leaving the business or maybe a business partner does something that's a little suspicious or something, and that throws a wrench in your plans. There's, you mentioned criticisms by people you respect, which I'd like to follow up here on in a second. But there's major medical expenses, like you said, an automotive accident or something, or some sort of injury, bankruptcy, or bad investments. Let's go back to the criticisms by people you respect. Yeah, how can that impact us in terms of a curve?
Oh, that's the hardest thing, because everybody has advice to give to you, especially if you're young. Everybody's got advice, and very few people are good at money management. And so when you have someone who's not good at managing their money, giving you advice, and they're telling you how wrong you are for what you're trying to accomplish, that can trip you up or stop you from pursuing what you feel is the correct way to build wealth.
Yeah. And I think that even launches like a whole conversation around like unsolicited advice. Because I even found like when I was diving into money and I was going down that rabbit hole of all the different podcasts and YouTube channels, I was telling all my friends and family about all these different things. Like, you got to be doing this. You got to be doing this. And then I realized I needed to back off. They just didn't really want to hear it. So I think it goes both ways.
Yes. Yes. And that's probably why I don't make my kids sit down and listen to me preach to them about money, because they're all in different stages of life. And they just need, when they're ready, they'll be open to receive it.
Yeah. If you want to start preaching, that's why you got to start a podcast. That's when you can just sit here and tell people what you think. So, yeah, I think that's great. I think the criticisms in both directions can kind of derail you, because if you, like you said, your example was someone who maybe doesn't know that much about money telling you what you should be doing with your money, that can be something where you're like, well, are they right? Or like you start considering it, you start thinking about it, and then maybe it causes you to change your plan because you need to be spending more because all of your friends are, or something like that. So you got to just be aware of those little curves. And of course, there's always the emergencies. Do you think an emergency fund is essential?
I did for a long time, and I don't have an emergency fund now. And I know that might sound foolish, but I have what I call Plan A, which is what I expect to happen. And then I have Plan B, which is a backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have Plan C, which is a backup to the backup. And I have Plan D, which is, again, yeah, one more mm-hmm. backup. And so I don't have an emergency fund per se.
Yeah.
But if I had to, I could put my hands on $30,000 in mm-hmm. cash in a matter of 2 days.
Yeah. And I think that's the whole, I would say, premise behind financial independence is that freedom to be able to say, yeah, I don't have to have that money sitting in cash, but there's enough that I can make it work. Like, I think that's one thing that maybe we don't give ourselves enough, like we don't realize it enough, is that there's time. Like things aren't just, you aren't going to be bankrupt instantaneously. You have time to, like you said, you have a few days to go get that money you need.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's an interesting point. I expected you to come out and say, yes, you got to have an emergency fund, but I love it. Like, that's why these money talks are so important, is so that we can hear all these different ideas that each other have. Awesome. Well, one of your chapters is about becoming your own bank. Can you explain that principle a little bit to me?
Oh, I love this principle, because it's very common that expenses will pop up that you don't have to pay for every month. One of them, I know we're going to spend some money at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Christmas comes along about every December. It's kind of magic.
Just happens. Yep.
And so given that fact, I figure out that how much money do I want to spend every December for Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, my budget has gone up as my family's grown bigger. But as it sits right now, I take money and stick it into a savings account every month for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It's earmarked for Christmas. Now, it's not a separate Christmas savings account. It's one savings account, but all the Christmas money goes in there every month. The same thing happens with car insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't pay car insurance every month. I pay it every 6 months when the premium due. I'm not going to pay their extra fee to get on their monthly payment plan. So I stick money into savings every month for car insurance. Well, when our kids were young, school clothes was a thing that would happen about every August. Well, if I know that those things are coming and I'm saving up for it, let's say the school clothes every August, but I don't have enough all saved up to pay for the school clothes when they come due or when they're needed, I can borrow from my Christmas fund and buy the school clothes in August when they're needed. And then as I keep paying back that the money for school clothes during September and October and November, magically the Christmas fund gets restored.
Yeah. So it sounds to me like you're almost setting yourself up as like you have this just general savings account that you earmark with all these things. And then you try to hit these goals. And if you hit them, great. But also you give yourself some flexibility.
Yes. So including there, we have a vacation fund, Christmas, car insurance, our home insurance, property taxes, and income tax. And all of those get funded into that one savings account every month.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love this idea of really, it's just you're saving money and then that gives you so many opportunities, like I just said, but it gives you opportunities where if you don't hit a savings goal, you have backup money. It's like you're not living paycheck to paycheck is really what it comes down to, is you're not even worried about a paycheck because you just have that savings there.
Yeah. And it's nice if you can set that up to where a portion of your paycheck goes into that savings account automatically. So you never have to worry about it.
Yeah. Automatic Millionaire is one of my favorite books. And it just talks about the power of just take that little bit of money. You won't miss it. Your life will adjust. You'll figure out how to live on the rest of it. And then suddenly you're going to find yourself with a very valuable 401k, or you're in your case, like a vacation fund, or that yearly goal is always getting hit. Is this being your own bank? Is this something that everyone can do? And how does it benefit people that once they get it set up?
Well, have you ever known anybody to go to a payday lending place?
Heard of it. Yeah.
You ever seen what interest they charge?
Too much. That's all I know.
When they say they charge 10% interest, what they're saying is it's 10% per week. Have you figured out the annual percentage rate of that?
Not off the top of my head, but I'm sure that'd be crazy high.
520% per year.
That's more than double. Like
that's nuts.
Yeah.
So why would you go to a place like that if you could be your own bank and you can borrow to cover short-term things or short-term shortages and pay no interest? In fact, actually earn a little bit of interest.
Yeah, especially now with some savings account rates going up, it's a much better situation to be in.
It's getting better.
Yeah. And I think I do think like this is totally possible for everybody. Like you're saying, just set up your paycheck automatically, figure out those numbers, and then let that savings account build, and you're going to start hitting some of those goals. And then you'll get to a point. One of my favorite things that my wife and I are able to do is we budget solely based off last month's income. So all of our paychecks just go to one savings account. And then when it's time to budget for the month, we're able to move it. And that's the money we have to budget. So we are never worried if a paycheck shows up late, which is, I know, something that can stress out a lot of people, especially if you're living paycheck to paycheck.
Isn't that a great feeling?
Yeah, I honestly call it like it's like the first phase of financial independence, where you don't have to worry about a paycheck. You're not completely independent from your job, but you're independent from a day-to-day standpoint.
Yes.
It's fantastic. And I think this being your own bank is something too, that you just borrow from yourself, you use your own savings account to pay for things. I think that's fantastic. But let's talk about cheating the budget. That's another key point in your book. Most people hate budgeting. They think it's a four-letter word, but your book talks about cheating the budget. What does that mean?
Oh, my favorite topic. So we have this savings account where we're putting money aside for vacation. And right now we've got, I can tell you, I've got a spreadsheet up here. We've got about $4,000 saved up for vacation. And we're going to go on vacation. We've already got one plan. But since we're going to be gone from our home, we don't have to use the money that we have in the budget for food at home. So if I can use that money on vacation and not pull the $4,000 out of savings, then what am I left with at the end of the month?
Yeah, that 4,000.
We had a great vacation, but mm-hmm. we didn't have to rob all of the money from savings. Mm-hmm. So I cheated our monthly budget by using it to pay for something where the cash is already sitting in savings. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's really interesting. You're saying, like, take the expenses, like the secondary expenses in your case, like vacation, you won't be buying groceries at home, and then use that in other ways. I think that's really cool.
And amazingly enough, after you do this a little while, you get this disease called saving disease, where you get money into savings, but you hate to take it out. And lo and behold, the savings account starts building. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah. And the bigger it gets, that's the more opportunities. That's when you're becoming your own bank. That's when you don't have an emergency fund because you're in a place where you're financially independent. And like you said, it's a financial decision and not necessarily an age decision to retire. Like you hit that number because of these things that build and build on each other. So
exactly. Yeah,
this has been a fantastic conversation. Did you have anything else around your book that you wanted to add?
Well, I've looked at it in detail, and I probably ought to write a supplement to it, because everybody that's read the book says, well, you didn't tell me where to invest. And the reason that's not included in the book is because that changes from time to time. Where to invest is something that you've got to get a handle on for your own personal needs. And, you know, if someone says, oh, you should invest in T-bills because that's the safest place to put your money. Well, that's great, except if T-bills are paying 5% and inflation is at 9%, then you are safely losing 4% every year.
Yeah.
And so you can't say T-bills is the place to put money all the time. You can't say the stock market is the only place to invest, when real estate has been a tool used by many people to become wealthy. So there's not one place that you can put money and become safe forever.
Yeah. My whole thing around whenever someone asks me an investing question, my go-to is always, you got to start simple. Like, don't overwhelm yourself, because like you were saying, you mentioned three different like asset classes. You mentioned T-bills, the stocks, and then real estate. And I even think, especially within real estate and stocks, there's a whole bunch of things within that. Like, it can get very complicated very quickly. So while it's not necessarily a blanket, start here, only invest in this, I think starting simply is going to be really helpful for people.
So one of the things I'd like probably to touch base on is, there's got to be a difference between a curveball that comes along that disrupts your financial life versus an expenditure that you know is going to happen. Now, I have six children. Those six children now have 12 college degrees together. When did I know that they were going to go to college?
I'm not sure, probably, hopefully very early, that you could start planning for it.
Yeah, like when they were born. So if I knew when they were born that they were going to need some financial backing to go to college, well, I have about 18 years to work on it. And the slope of having to save money over 18 years is nowhere near as tough as that slope if you wait until they get their driver's license. And then you think, oh, now I've got a plan for them to go to college. And that slope is really big. Yeah.
It's a rock climb. Yeah. That's interesting. If you know something's coming, like you said, children going to college, for some people, it might even be just, you know, your auto insurance is due in 6 months. Like, it can be on such a varying scale.
And one of the big ones you ought to put on that list is, I'm going to someday retire. And I know people say, oh, but I love my job. I love what I do. I'm never going to retire. Well, that may not be your choice. A buddy of mine just had a stroke, and he is struggling now to learn how to walk again. If retirement was not in his plan, it just got dumped into his plan unexpectedly.
Yeah, now it's the only plan, because you can't, like, like those things don't have to be curveballs is what you're getting at too, is that you can start planning for it, that if it does happen earlier or kind of unexpectedly, there's at least a little bit of a foundation there.
Nothing feels more comfortable than being totally prepared for something that comes along.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's perfect. I love that. There's nothing feels better than being prepared. I love that. I think that's a fantastic place to wrap up our conversation. I think we went all over from a bunch of different curves that we might expect to how they're not really curves. And if you're being your own bank and using your budget wisely, you can be prepared for that. Bob, what's the name of your book? And then we'll make sure people can find it online.
It's Getting Rich in America. I think you'll have a tough time finding it online because it's been privately published and was never intended to be sold.
It was intended to
be a gift to my kids to help them to do what we've done.
Awesome. Well, yeah, then we'll use this podcast as a resource. And then if people have questions, I'll direct them to you. They're more than welcome to reach out to me, and then we can get connected with people, because I think that's the fun part, is that we get to have conversations with each other and continue to learn and grow from each other. And Bob, thanks for joining me on today's episode.
Hey, good to see you.
Thank you so much for Bob for coming on today's episode. That was a fantastic conversation. And remember, if you haven't already, please go leave a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on. It would mean the world, and it would help this podcast a ton. We're growing rapidly, and our numbers and audience numbers continue to grow, and it's because of great listeners like you. So thank you for listening to today's episode. Some of my key takeaways were, one, that an emergency fund may not be the blanket advice that many take it to be. It's very good, and most people should have an emergency fund, but like Bob illustrated, it's not necessary for him. And that's some of the things that being financially independent can unlock for you. Being your own bank affords you so many opportunities. You can cheat your budget when you have money to work with. You can avoid those 500%+ payday loans when you have money to work with. You don't have to worry about every single paycheck when you have a little bit of money in the bank. I think the overarching theme that I took away from today's episode is just begin to save some money. Whether it's catching that savings disease that Bob talked about, or just getting to a point where you're comfortable and don't have to rely on every single paycheck. But no matter what, this was a great conversation. And thanks again to Bob for coming on. And thank you to everyone for listening. Please check out my social media, or if you have any questions or want to come on the podcast, check out the show notes for my email, and please reach out. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have or talk to you on the podcast, and we can talk about maybe some of your money questions or some of your ideas around money. But it would be a really great conversation to have, so please reach out if you have any questions. But thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.